get that stuff downloaded? Yes, we did. Okay. The master key. There it is. And Jesus is our master key. Aren't you glad that he paid the price? Aren't you glad that he hung and died for each and every one of us? The master key opens all the doors that seem to be closed for you. The master key, Jesus, will open every door that hinders, that's blocking, that's causing barriers between you and Jesus. He'll give you the understanding of what he wants to do for your life. Say if we'll follow him. Mark chapter 10 and verse 7 says it like this. But Jesus, looking at them, said, with men it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. I believe that most of us in here have known or know that when we're heading the wrong way. Have you ever figured out whenever you're heading the wrong way, you just kind of know that you're heading the wrong way? It's not coming, and we got a little issue with the technical services. There it is. We know when we're heading the wrong way. There's this feeling that we get inside of us. There's a thing that we're going through. I mean, you just get that discernment of spirit. You kind of know, like, there's something wrong. How many of you know when there's something wrong in your life, and the Holy Spirit starts tweaking you? He starts giving you little knocks on your door. He starts speaking to your spirit and to your mind, and he's saying, hey, guess what? I got something better for you than what you have for yourself. How many of you know Jesus has something better for you? Well, we go through different things, and most of us get that spiritual feeling when we're heading the wrong way. Through Jesus Christ, we have access to the throne of God. We have access to the master key. The master key, I want to use this word for you this morning, and the word is repent. Say repent. Sometimes we don't like to use that word. We don't like to come to the understanding that we need repentance in our life. We need to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm truly sorry. We're going to get to that in just a minute. Have you ever heard the story of David? Yeah, and everybody's read through the book, the Bible, and you've read stories about David and Goliath, and then he grew up, and it was David and Bathsheba, and then we grew up, and it was David and his son Solomon, and then it was King David, and there's a lot of things that David did wrong. I may have you know that David did a lot of things that was not necessarily appropriate. Well, David was a lot like many of us. Along his journey in life, he slipped, he fell, he made mistakes. Don't raise your hand. Have you made a few mistakes? Have you slipped and fallen? Have you found yourself in predicaments where you went, I like to use this, how the heck did I get here? You find yourself wishing that you would not have did what you did to get to where you are. Amen? Many of us go through different things, and I'm here to tell you that if you read your Bible, you will see that David was a man that had a lot of mistakes and did a lot of things wrong. But my question to you, have you read your Bible? And many of us have done those things as well, right? No, not you. If you read your Bible, you'll find that in the book of Acts 13 and 22, it says this. Listen to this carefully. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. God saying this. A man after my own heart who will do all my will. Now, have you considered and have you read your Bible? And have you realized what David did? And then how could God possibly say, David, I found David, this man after my own heart, and he would do all of my will. Have you ever thought about those words? Now, we know the Bible is truth, right? Jesus is not lying. He's speaking truth. Well, it comes to the understanding of knowing that God knows. Jesus knows that you're not perfect. That's why he sent Jesus. God knows that you couldn't do this on your own. You couldn't do this on your own strength, with your own abilities, your own talents. No matter how good you think you can be, a lot of people like to say that, well, I'm a good person. No matter how good you are, we've all got problems, right? And we can at least have three or four witnesses in here that could point them out, can't we? Okay. All right. You know that we need to learn how to submit and come under the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me submit this to your for your consideration. David knew how to repent. That's what the word tells us. It says David knew how to repent. He knew how to say, God, I'm sorry. And too many of us today, we go around and we'll say things like, well, Lord, I'm sorry. But do we mean it? Do we truly realize that we need to repent? And actually, the word repent means to turn around. Stop doing what you are doing and turn around. And that's why David was a man after God's own heart. Although he made mistakes and made mess ups and did a lot of things incorrectly. When he realized. See, you come to a point in your life where you realize. You went, we realize. And when David realized it, he stopped. And we go, aha, yeah. I got this. I figured this out. God says that's what David was about. He figured it out. And he realized, oh, my goodness. Many times in our life, we can look at somebody else in the midst of their sinning. And we're above all that because we're so righteous. And then we look at them and say, how could they do that? I know nobody here has ever said that when you looked at anybody else that was in their problems and said, how could they possibly do that? And I'm going to say I did. But then you find out how they did it when you do it. Oh, you may not be doing the same thing they're doing, but you find out that no matter who you are, you fall short of the glory of the Lord. We all have sinned and fallen short. But when you go in the wrong way, we find out how to turn around. Say turn around. Well, when we turn around in life, we get to a couple of things. We get to the confession of the off-ramp. You know what I'm using now is as a little analogy about a highway. You're driving down the highway and you see the confession off-ramp, and you get off on that off-ramp and you say, oh my goodness, I have sinned. Lord, I need to confess. The word says if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, then we're saved. But the problem many of us have is we don't want to confess it. We don't want nobody else to know it, so we don't confess. So we got to get off on the off-ramp of confession, and then we go over to the overpass of grace. How many of you love grace? Hallelujah. You go, this is the turnaround, okay? You're going off the off-ramp, you get to the, you turn and you go over the overpass of grace. Thank God for God's grace. Amen. And then we come to the on-ramp. We get back to the ramp of restoration. How many of you ready for some restoration in your life? How many of you know we need restoring? We need to be revived. We need to get ourselves turned around. Say turn around. We need to take these journey and get back to where we're supposed to be, because sometimes in our life we get a little confused. Anybody ever get confused? I mean, am I the only one that has messed up a little bit? You get a little off track, and before you know it, you're going way off track. Well, I'm here to tell you, God gives us a turnaround. It's called repentance. Have you ever noticed on your journey of life that whenever you're going somewhere, have you been driving somewhere and you've gotten, and you're driving and you're driving and you're driving and you're thinking, man, this place must be far. And then you get there and you turn around and you start going back. And coming back is, it seems like it's nowhere near as far as it was when you went. Anybody can relate to that? You're on your journey and then all of a sudden you turn around and it's like, wow, it didn't take nowhere near as long. It actually did, but it doesn't feel that way. Well, God wants you to know this morning, no matter how far you got away, no matter how far your journey is, if you do the turnaround, say if you do the turnaround, if you repent, the journey back is going to be a whole lot quicker. Your spiritual eyesight will be enlightened. Carol and I was talking this week on the back porch, and we were saying, do you realize how if God was to reveal his glory? You know, we sing songs like, oh, show me. You know, last week, I believe we sung that song, show me your glory. And in could you imagine if God was to just get you a glimpse of his glory? It would blow us away. Have you ever read the Bible where Moses passed by Jesus? I mean, God passed by Moses, and he said he put his hand over the cleft of the rock, and he went, phew. I mean, he just, do you realize that God is faster than the speed of light? I mean, come on, you know it? Okay, guess what? He's light, right? When he put his hand over Moses and he was like, phew, Moses jumped out to take a look. And by the time he was already seeing, he was only seeing the glimpse of him already gone. And it glowed in his face the rest of his life. It changed him. Amen. How many of you are ready for some change in your life? You're ready to see the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, you're going to have to ask and seek and knock. You're going to have to go after God with all of your heart, mind, and soul. Well, sometimes we get caught up and we head in the wrong way. But I just want to let you know something. I got something here that a little demonstration. Let's see. Where's a good hairy guy? I get any volunteers to come up here? On their arm. Come here, man. Come here, Jeremy. Yeah, this is a little demonstration. Have y'all ever had tape stuck on your arm? Watch this. They're all saying, uh-oh. Hey, come on, give me your... I'm just going to stick it on there. Have you ever... Watch this. This is what sin is like. When you get it stuck on you and it rips it off. Oh, that wasn't even bad, was it? I got a couple hairs on there. But this is what happens to us many times. Stay here. This is what happens to us many times as we sin. Have you ever done this? Have you ever stuck tape on your arm? After you do it a couple of times, guess what happens? It gets easier. It doesn't hurt as much. So the more we sin, the more we allow ourselves to step off of God's track. It's probably not even stuck. I got all your hair. You know, I should have had a lady with her legs on. Huh? She wouldn't have to shave this morning. It's a little demonstration of how sometimes we allow sin in our life and we do it, and before you know it, it doesn't even feel like sin anymore, does it? I mean, all right, there's only about 5 of us in this room that can experience this, and raise your hand right now. If you've had so much sin in your life that, oh, I better not let you do that. If you had so much going on in your life that you just didn't even feel, the sin just didn't even, we didn't even, it just... We didn't even feel it anymore. We just did it. Oh, it's okay. Then we got that it's okay feeling. It's okay. God knows my... Oh. You see where the danger zone starts coming into play? You see where the feeling starts? It's just easy to do it. Have you ever told God you're sorry and you really didn't mean it? Have you ever just, you know, decided, okay, Lord, I'm sorry, but you just didn't mean it? There was nothing. The word says in 2 Corinthians 7 and 10, for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. Now I'll say that again. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. So when we repent, when we truly repent, when we say, God, like David decided to do and learned how to do. How many of you know we learn things along our journey in life? We just kind of like, okay, Lord, I'm a little dense. How many of y'all are dense? Don't raise your hand. Sometimes we're a little hard-headed. Let me just use that word. How about that? That's better than dense. Okay. Sometimes we got a dozen people went hard-headed, I'll go with. Okay. We're a little hard-headed and we got to do things until we realize that, you know what, this is... You know, the scripture says it like this: all things are lawful but for me, but not all things are beneficial, not edifying. So all things, I can do whatever I want to do, but how many of you know it's not edifying? It's not beneficial, the word says. Sometimes we get caught up in doing things so much so that we forget how to really repent. What does repent mean? Turning around. Now watch this. Worldly sorrow says a lot like this: I got this. I'm sorry. Sometimes we get so kind of like humorous with God that we just say, I'm sorry. I'm done. I'm ready to give up, Lord. And we kind of get humorous with God and we truly don't repent. We just go through the motions. Now, don't raise your hand, but many of us have went through the motions of repentance, but we didn't change. We just kept doing what we wanted to do. And then I went up last week and cried three times and prayed, and the pastor anointed me with oil, and they dunked water on me and forgave me, and I'm all good now. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 3 and 8 says this. Therefore. Therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance. Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Meaning it's got to be evident. How many of you know when we repent, it needs to be evident. If we just say, oh, I'm sorry, hallelujah, and just go about our day-to-day living and just like, okay, I'll go next week and say I'm sorry again. There's not a fruit of repentance. We're not bearing the fruit. Watch this. And don't think that you can say we have Abraham as our father. Now, what is that saying? Is a lot of people want to say it like this. I'm a good person. I go to church. I even tithe. And every now and then I give an offering. And sometimes when they need help around a church, I volunteer. Hallelujah. And I've got it covered. Don't say to yourself, it says, and don't think and say to yourself, you have Abraham as your father. Don't say things that's really you don't mean. Don't say these things that really don't amount to much. You see, because there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about the guy that went on the corner and prayed, and he said, hallelujah, look at me, I'm praying and I'm talking about Jesus. The Bible says they have their reward in full. He said, but when you pray, go in your closet and ask the Lord, who is in secret, will reward you openly. How many of you know some people that you have seen God just blessing them, encouraging them, and pouring out his spirit? And a lot of people are like, man, why are they getting all the blessings and I'm not getting any? Well, maybe it's because we're trying to blow the trumpet. We're trying to sound the alarm before us and say, look at what I'm doing. Look how good I am. There's a lot of people running around making noise for the kingdom of God. God's not looking for noisemakers. He does like joyful noisemakers, but he don't want just noisemakers just making an unsightly sight. The Bible says that all things should be done, but it says it should be done decently and in order. For I say that God is able to raise up children for Abraham from these stones. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. In other words, basically what he's saying is, if you just keep on going the way you're going, the axe is at the root of the tree. There's already a chopping going on. God is already allowing us to get chopped down. All of our good works and all of the things. Watch this. The axe is already laid at the root of it. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit. Okay, if you're not bearing good fruit, it is cut down and thrown into the fire. Do we know what the fire means? Do we know what that means? Anybody know what that means? That means, you know, hell. So if you chop down and thrown into the fire, watch this. For indeed, I have baptized you into the water of repentance. Say repentance. Now, what does it mean, repent? Turning around. You see, that's what God's saying. He goes, I've baptized you in the water of repentance. You know, we've got to learn that God wants us to be totally submerged. Have you understood the word baptism and what it means? Somebody's fixing to find out about that in a week or so. Submerged. Submerged. Now, there we go. It's a total submersion. God wants us to be totally involved in our relationship with him, totally submerged. That's why the baptism is important. It's not just a little bit of water, but it's completely. The repentance is the first step of completely deciding to just change. Say change. We got to change the direction we were going. Have you ever been going the wrong direction? Of course, everybody can raise your hand there, right? We have all went the wrong direction in life, and God has gotten our attention. He's knocked on our door. Have you heard him call you by name? Now, we sung a song this morning, how powerful is the name of Jesus. But do you know that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords called you by name? Did you know that if you gave your life to Christ, if you repented, you're walking with the Lord, that your name is now written in the Lamb's Book of Life? What? You see, there were some disciples went around and said, man, Jesus sent them out and they came back all excited. Man, demons were, we had cast them out and whoo, we did all kind of things in your name. And the Lord God Almighty, Jesus, he told them, he says, don't rejoice in the signs and the wonders, but rejoice because your name, say my name, is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Aren't you glad your name is written? Oh, hallelujah. What a great place for our name to be written, for the King of Kings has written it. Repentance is the first step of getting our key, say key, to open up some doors, huh? Wow. There's some doors right now. Jesus is knocking on somebody's heart right now, and he said, guess what? There are some doors that I need to shut for you. The Lord says, if we will come into his presence, this is a prophetic word right now for some folks right here, right now. Listen, if we will come into his presence and allow and use the key of repentance and get into the throne of God and come into the Holy of Holies, the Lord said, this morning, I will shut some doors for you that you've struggled with for many years now. I will shut some doors for you that you have not been able to shut. You've tried a lot of different ways to shut them, and you said, oh, I could do this. Lord says, you cannot do it. For the gift of the Holy Spirit is here this morning. He's speaking to some hearts. If it's you, say amen. There's some folks that the Lord said, today is a day that I want to shut some doors for you. But you're going to have to use the key, say the key, of repentance. You're going to have to get before the Lord and repent means stop, turn around. Don't just say, I'm sorry. It's not just about being, I'm sorry, but it's about making a change in your life to say, I'm no longer content with doing this. It's destroying me. Do you know that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy you? Do you know that Satan's deceiving some folks right now in your life? That Satan's in there and he's mingling with you and he's messing you up. He's trying his hardest to destroy your life. The Lord says, I know your works. I know right where you are. Today I have a deliverance for you. I have a closed door for you. Oh my goodness. Excuse me. Revelations 3 and 7 says, these things I say, he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the keys of David, he who opens doors and no one can shut them, and shuts doors that no one can open. That King, that Lord, that God Almighty is here this morning and he's speaking to your heart right now and he's saying, I can and will shut some doors for you. And I will, says the Lord, I will open some doors. How many of you need some open doors right now? Father, you see the ones that are needing some doors shut and some doors opened right now. Look in our hearts, oh God. Lord, bring us to an understanding, Lord. Lord, we can see those doors. We know where they're at. Lord, if we repent and say, Lord, I'm truly repenting. I'm stopping this. I'm turning around. I'm no longer happy. I cannot be content with doing these same old things that are the devil's trying to destroy me and I have allowed him to. Lord, I thank you this morning that you have opened our eyes that we might see who you are, that you are the door opener. You are the door closer. This morning, Lord, I thank you that you opened my ears, oh God, that I might hear your voice. It's not just noise. It's not like the world says, just follow and run and do. But Lord, it's your voice that's speaking to me right now. Lord, open the doors and shut the doors. We give you all of the glory in Jesus' name. And everyone that said amen. Revelations 3 and 8 says, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door and no one can shut it. No one can shut it. I've set before you an open door. So the master key that opens the door to reverse this curse, to reverse life circumstances that becomes, that is brought on in our life by the sin we have allowed in. That door has been shut and God's opening up a new door, a new direction. How did David become a man after God's own heart? We see throughout the Bible over and over again that we need our circumstances reversed. Amen. Do you know we need our circumstances reversed? Why is repentance so important to us? I know Jesus died for my sin. I know that in my heart, mind, and soul. But sometimes we get confused. Sometimes, boy, I hate to use this word. Most people don't like it when people use this word. But sometimes we get stupid. Have you ever been stupid? Don't raise your hand. Quit elbowing and telling him to raise his hand. He didn't. Sometimes we get a little bit on the wrong side of life. Sometimes we get ourselves in a situation that we wished we wouldn't have got in. Have you been there? You've been in situations where you wished, you was like, man, I wished I wouldn't have opened that door. I wished I wouldn't have. Well, that's what the word repentance brings us around to, is because God gives us insight. He gives us his word. He gives us the power in the name of Jesus to repent and say, Father, I no longer want to be stupid. I no longer want to do these things that are destroying me. I want to get smarter. I want to start learning, Lord. I want to start educating myself so I won't keep stepping into that pile of stuff. You thought I was going to say something else, didn't you? Sometimes we get caught up into walking into stuff that stinks. And we don't realize it until we're all the way in it. Have you ever stepped in it and it just slid? That's when it's a big pile. Many of us have been walking in stuff that's taking away from our relationship with God. If you know that God is holy and you know he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you also know that he can't look at sin. You see, Jesus had to say, Father, why have you forsaken me? And the Father had to turn his head when Jesus became sin for us. And sometimes we step into that same stuff and we don't repent. And the Father says that now there's becoming a gap, a separation, if you will, of our desires from what God desires. Have you ever realized that sometimes we're not desiring what God is desiring for our life? David became a man after God's own heart because he repented. The Bible says in Hebrews 9 and 22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There's no remission of sin. There's no cancellation of the debt. If we don't apply the blood of Jesus into our life, if we don't repent and start living for Jesus, and the word says it like this, if we don't confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, you see, a lot of times the word is confusing to many of us because we just read part of it. And we say, well, I confessed, I believed, but did you believe in your heart? Did you believe enough to make a change? Did you ever come to the realization that I have to change? I can no longer be the same person I used to be. Anybody? You know, you realize I cannot be that same person that I was because that's not beneficial. Oh, it may be lawful. You could do it. Yeah. You know, you got free will. You can do whatever you want. But it's not going to be beneficial. It's not going to edify you or the body of Christ. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4 says it like this. Not knowing that the goodness of God leads us to repentance. It's the goodness of God. God, do you know God is good? And whenever we come to trying to beat somebody into Christianity, that's not going to make it. You're not going to scare somebody into heaven, although there's been a lot of people tried. But I'm here to tell you, the Bible says it like this. It's the goodness, say goodness. It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. It's the goodness of God that leads men. Are you being led by Jesus? Do you realize that he's bringing you to another level, if you will, or another dimension, or another understanding, another enlightenment, another revelation of who he truly is? As we grow and mature in Christ, as we learn to hear his voice, we develop and mature and realize that, wow, this is so much better than what I had. Anybody been saved a little while? Do you realize it's much better than it used to be? Oh, if it's not, then you ain't right. I'll just tell you, point up, you haven't got there yet. I'm going to tell you that you can. It's available. There's a lot of people trying to play with the world and play with God. Oh, they call it, they walk in the fence. You know what? You've heard preachers say, whoa, you walk. I'm not even going to try that because I've lost my stability. I've lost my sense of stability. And many of us have lost it, but we're trying to walk it and we're falling off into sin. Can you say the word sin? We don't like to use that word these days. We just like to say, well, you know, I'm just human. I had some bad habits. I made a few mistakes. We like to make excuses and use these type of words instead of saying, I have sinned. I have sinned. Father, forgive me for where I've fallen short. The problem is many of us are like the world that we just want to make an excuse and do what we want to do and then ask God to forgive us and go back and live the same life. There's various levels of consequences. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's various levels of consequences. The decisions we have made bring us to our consequences, bring us to a situation where we don't realize what's happening, what's going on, why. And then we say things like this, why, God? How many of you truly have asked that question? Raise your hand. Come on. You know you have. Now, how many of you, after you said it, went, oh, I know why. I know why. You see, like I said earlier, we kind of know when we're in danger. We kind of swimming across the jaws and we realizing that we have sinned. We know why. But we like to, you know, act like, you know, so I'll just say it like this. We like to act like Adam when he's walking through the garden and he hit himself. Have you ever considered that? Have you ever thought about that? Here Adam is hiding behind a tree. And God Almighty, who knows all, knows exactly where he is. He says, where are you, Adam? Like he didn't know. Oh, I'm hiding myself. Why'd you hide yourself? Because I was naked. Well, who told you was naked? Well, that old devil, he made me do it. Boy, we love to blame people and things and circumstances. But I'm here to tell you that we've got to learn how to repent and just be honest with God. Because he knows. How many of you know he knows? The keys for the open doors, the keys for the kingdom of God, for the reversal of our sinful nature, for the reversal of sinful decisions we have made. I don't know about you, but I have come to the conclusion and realized that we will reap what we sow. Now, does God forgive us? Absolutely, 100%. Will he make us suffer the consequences? Maybe. I don't know. That's between you and God. We only know what God wants. How many of you know he's sovereign? I mean, we do things, we sow bad seeds into our field and then we pray for a crop failure. Oh, please, Jesus, don't let that come to fruition. Excuse me. Reverse the curse, Lord. The Bible says that the word is sin. Sin, let me just say it like this. Learn to say the word sin. Learn to not allow the devil to water it down for us to make us say things like, well, nobody's perfect. I'm just human. Don't get into that category of excuses. Don't get into the category of just making excuses when the reality is the Lord's. How many of you heard him knocking lately? He's knocking on some doors and he's saying, I'm speaking to you and I'm telling you, listen, this is your day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Are you going to accept and walk with me from this day forward? Are you going to repent and realize that you've got to come and confess and get grace and get back on the right track of restoration? How many of you ready for some restoration in your life? You ready for some revealing of where we've fallen short? Lord, open our eyes that we might truly see. The sin is not a popular word. Well, we need to recognize sin as sin. Then we'll open some doors. We'll have some doors opened that we'll actually see what's going on. Do you know that the devil wants to pull the wool over your eyes? Do you realize that the devil wants to make you say, it's okay. It's not that bad. I'm not as bad as Murray. I'm not as bad as Jonathan. I'm not bad as... And we start justifying our actions by looking around at other Christians. How many? Don't raise your hand. Many of us have looked around at other Christians and we've told the Lord, I'm not like brother so-and-so who does such and such. Like God didn't need to... I mean, he needed to know that, you know. He didn't know. Well, don't get caught up in the pointing the fingers. Because God's interested in your soul. And the reason why you're feeling convicted, or the reason why you're feeling the condemnation is because our life is not in where it's supposed to be. Our life is not right. Because when we truly have repented and we start walking with Jesus and did you hear the prophetic word that said the Lord says, I'm bringing you to a place, I'm bringing you to the light, I'm showing you where to go? When we're walking behind, when we're following, say following, when we're following the Lord Jesus Christ, then there is no condemnation. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, the Word says. But are we in Christ Jesus? Huh? Do you realize that sin is a lot like trash and garbage? Have you ever been anywhere where there's a pile of garbage or a pile of trash and it stinks and it's nasty and it's funky and... And that's what sin is in our life. It's trash and it's garbage. And we have allowed it to pile up. And it's right there in the midst of our life. It's not part of God's divine nature. God has a divine nature and he wants to bring us into it with him. Many people just want God to change my circumstances, Lord. Lord, don't address my sin. Lord, don't make me feel bad. Many people in church today have bought into that type of a scenario or that type of understanding. The Lord, don't address my sin. Just make it go away. Just cover it up. We want to do it like the Old Testament did. We'll just cover it for another year, Lord. Just give me one more year. How many of you know Jesus did it for more than a year? We sung a song this morning that said the veil was torn from top to bottom and now we have total access, say access, to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We can go in each and every day. We don't have to just feel better about what we're doing. We don't have to just say, Lord, just make me feel better. Sometimes people get emotional experiences in church. They might cry, they might, whoo-hoo! And they might get all emotional. But have they made a heart transplant or are they just making emotional decisions? I have made a conscious decision a long time ago that no matter what, I'm going to follow Jesus. I have decided. The Bible says in Romans 6 and 23, for the wages of sin is, but the gift of God is. The wages of sin is, and the gift of God is, what do you want? What do you want? Yeah, life in Christ our Lord. Listen to this, Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. For in that day you eat of it, you shall surely die. The day you eat of it, you shall surely die. James 1 and 15 says, then when desire has conceived and it gives birth to sin. You see, first we get carried away. I want that. Then it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings death. You see, the devil wants to lie to you and tell you it's okay. But the desire of your heart needs to be changed. It needs to repent. It needs to not give birth to sin. How many of you know we have dwelt on some things in our life that we shouldn't be dwelling on? We have thought some thoughts that we shouldn't be thinking. We have put ourselves in positions that we shouldn't be putting ourselves in. I'm here to tell you, run. Say run. Run away from it. The Bible tells you to flee the devil. Resist the devil. Resist him and he will flee. How many of you know, many of us don't resist enough. Well, okay, come on in, Satan. You want to screw up my life? Come on in the living room. We'll sit down here and drink and party and woo-hoo! We're going to just mess me up, devil. I'm ready to go to hell. I heard people say this. Well, I'm just going to hell. I just have to go ahead and drink and smoke it and do it. Well, what? Are you that stupid? Do you know we're not talking about a visit? We're talking about eternity. Say eternity. There's an eternity. Oh my goodness. You see how the devil lied and covers it up? It's okay. Oh, you're going to be down here. We're all going to be drinking and smoking all the time. How many of you know that's not hell? It is here, but it ain't going to be there. You're not going to be partying. You're not going to have a smile on your face and say, turn up the heat, brother. You're going to be saying, have you ever read the story where the fellow was in hell? And he said, can you just touch a drop of water and touch my tongue? Oh, my goodness, do you realize what suffering truly is? There's a lot of people today that think they're suffering. How many of you know they're not suffering? Oh, it's so hard. Life is so hard. I got a kick. I really get, I'm amazed at the news media these days. They don't even tell you the temperature no more. It feels like it's 107. It's only 90, but it feels like. They always got to make it sound worse. How many of you know it's not hot yet? We got a couple of more weeks where it's going to get hot. How many of you know that the devil is a lot like some of these news people? He's telling you it's not that hot yet. It's pretty hot in hell. If you don't realize that there is a real heaven and there is a real hell, there is. Yes. The Lord God is here today and he wants to awaken us. When sin, well, do we realize that sin is killing us? We are allowing ourselves to be destroyed. This is what the word says. Watch. For the lack of knowledge, my people are destroyed. Oh, for the lack of, with no vision. We don't have a vision of what God has for us, and we have the lack of knowledge. Well, this has been around a long time. How many of you know the Bible has been around a long time? And there are many of us that have not even cracked the pages. Well, you know, it's tough. I can't read that. It's got all them hard places. I was speaking to a woman this week, and she was saying, God opened up the Bible, and I got into Matthew's, and it says, so-and-so begot so-and-so, begot so-and-so, begot so-and-so. Stop. Turn the page. Because right after that, it says Jesus Christ was born. You see? Too many of us want to stop. Too many of us want to have an excuse not to get beyond the begots. There's a lot more in the Word of God. All Scripture, say all. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and bringing correction. How many of you know we need some correction? We need to understand some doctrine. We need some reproofing. We need some changing. Say changing. All right, I'm almost finished. Y'all hold on. What's changed? Has sin changed? Not since the first one. It hasn't changed. Sin's still sin. Watch. But it's the way we see it now. Many of us are not looking at it as sin anymore. And, you know, they got a little issue. They got a little problem. They got the Lord's dealing with them. It smells like garbage to me. I'm here to tell you that when we don't allow the Holy Spirit to give us insight and understand, and when we allow death to come into our life, we end up separating. The sin brings separation between us and God. Did you know that? Sin brings separation between us and God. Watch this. When we lose fellowship with God, we're dying. When we walk away from, there becomes a gap in our life. There becomes a void. How many of you have felt a void? Don't raise your hand. There's been a void in your life because you haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to fill your life and bring the joy of life and bring the happiness. And it hasn't. You haven't gotten your key to open up the true living life. But when we surrender and repent, and watch this, Matthew 16 and 19 says, I will give you the keys. I will give you, say me. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Jesus is life. Satan, sin is death. This isn't hard stuff, is it? It really is simple. Most of us think that heaven and hell is just that futuristic place that we're each going to get to go to at the end. How many of you know you can live in hell right here? And you can also decide to live in heaven. You can live with the joy of the Lord being your strength. You can walk in newness of life instead of the old nature of death. You can separate yourselves from the cares of this world. And you can bring yourself. You can have your oil and let it burn inside of you. Ah, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Too many of us have stuffed out our candle. And we only allow ourselves to light it at Christmas time with all the kids singing it. This little light of, oh, it's so good, a cute song. How many of you know that we got to learn to let our light shine? Fire it up. Fire it up. Fire it up. Allow the fire of God to burn away the chaff that's in our life. Oh, we can think about a lot of different things. I'm going to jump right into page 10 here, Matthew chapter 10, verse 7. It says, as you go, preach. I'm not a preacher. Yes, you are. You may not be preaching the right stuff, but you are a preacher. People are listening to you. People are watching you. People are listening to you. People are saying, huh, what did he say? You are a preacher everywhere you go. You may not be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, but you are a preacher. How many of you know people are listening? People are watching. Don't give them just your opinion. Give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Watch this. As you go, preach, saying, this is what you're to say. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. You see, too many of us don't realize that we can live a life of joy and happiness instead of worry and doubt and frustration and fear and whoo. There's many people running around today just trying to figure life out. I don't understand what's going on. Follow Jesus and he'll show you. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Now, I know there's about a dozen of us right here right now saying, well, I don't think I can pray for the sick and see him healed. Well, you just do it. You see, sometimes they have to learn how to just do it. Say, just do it. Just get up and do it. You know, you don't know. You have no clue whether or not God wants to use you to bring healing into somebody's life. So when you're walking through Walmart, when you got your cousins over and everybody's kind of talking and you're doing crazy things and getting wild, and somebody says, well, I got this pancreatitis, I got a bad knee. Just stop. Hey, guys, let's pray for them. Man, it's going to get quiet. Have you ever realized that? Have you ever noticed that? When you say, hey, let's pray for them. And then about 10 of them are going to back up to the wall. Say, I ain't praying. And then you got maybe one or two that's going to reach out and say, hey, yeah, let's pray. Because this is my friend. This is my brother. I don't know if y'all seen this little ad, a little thing on Facebook the other day. I reposted it. They had a child in a wheelchair, and he was epileptic or something. He had some kind of issue. I didn't read the thing. I just listened to it for a minute, and his brother had him up on stage, and they were singing a Christian song. And I mean, I sat there and wept for probably 5 minutes because I thought to myself, how many of us would step out of our comfort zone and sing with somebody that's disabled, got a problem? And I know right now when I'm saying it, I can see probably a good dozen and a half of y'all going, I would. Okay, if you would, then the next time you see a brother or sister in Christ slipping and falling and injuring themselves spiritually, reach out and start talking to them. Because you might do something in the natural, but how many of you know it's time, say it's time, for us to start doing what's right in the spirit. Let's pray for them. Let's reach out past our boundaries, past your comfort zone, and say, you know what, my brother, I understand you got some issues. I know you got some problems. Let me pray for you. Now, I'm going to tell you, just be polite, be courteous. Don't walk up to somebody and say, I'm going to pray for you. Hallelujah, Jesus. We anoint you this morning in the name of... Ah, man, come on. Did I break your neck there? I'm sorry. Don't get crazy. Watch this. Don't get religious. Get real. Be led by the Spirit. When the Spirit says go pray for somebody, first thing you walk up to and you say, can I pray for you?
Yes.
You see, because too many people just want to be religious. Look at me, everybody in Walmart. I'm praying for this person. Hallelujah. No, it's like, you know what? Just take them off to the side and say your little prayer. Lord, heal them in Jesus' name. You do what you're called to do. You pray for the sick. Oh, my goodness. You go out past your comfort zone. You pray for the sick. You cleanse the lepers. Uh-oh, the people that are unclean. I ain't touching them. Get past your uncomfortableness. Raise the dead. Do you know you got some friends that are dead in Christ and they're going to hell if you don't start praying for them right now? How many of you got some friends right now that you know they are going to hell if they don't start praying for them and you don't start opening a door and sowing some seed for their life? It's time for us as Christians to start raising the dead. You're thinking about all of the natural things, and yes, there are the real natural things, but I'm talking about the spiritual realm here. I'm talking about going to battle for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't just talk about them. Did you see what's your name? Jenny did. Did you see what Jenny did? I can't believe it. She was at our house the other day playing cards, and she cheated. I didn't catch her, though. You get caught up into pointing and looking and trying to find somebody else that's a little worse than you. You know what? When we come into the presence of the Almighty God, you're not going to look at anybody else. You're going to do like Isaiah said in Isaiah 6, woe is me, for I am undone. When we come into the presence of God, that's how I can always tell when people truly are wanting to pray for somebody else. They come and they don't try to just say, did you see what about, what's your name? What? Don't worry about, get away from that gossip. Get away from all of that stuff that stinks. You're stepping in some stuff that's corrupting you, and you're trying to corrupt somebody else by saying that stuff. Oh, if I could just talk about that person, then I'm a little bit better than them. Some of us are dead people walking, separating ourselves from God. We need restoration. We need relationship. The master key today is repentance, restored relationship with Jesus. Jesus said it like this, Mark chapter 1 and verse 15. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. I'm saying, it's not just saying I'm sorry, but it's truly turned around. James chapter 2 and 20 says it like this. O foolish man, your faith without works is... Your faith without works is dead. Are we dead people walking? Would you stand to your feet? Let me pray for you. Because I believe this morning God is ready to pour out His Spirit afresh on all flesh. If you want some more, if you want to repent, just raise both hands and say, Lord, today I come before you. You see where I am, Lord, spiritually. Lord, you know I'm not where I need to be. Lord, today I repent, oh God. Lord, I come into your presence, oh God, and I know, Lord, you've shown me this morning. You have opened my eyes. You've opened my ears that I might see where I am, that I might hear your voice. And you're speaking to me right now. You're knocking on my door, Lord, and I know you are. So, Father, I repent right now. Lord, I truly want to turn around from the direction I was headed. Lord, I want to walk with you and talk with you. Lord, you're so good. You have been so good to me, oh God. You've been so good to me, Father. Lord, you have done so many things. You've opened up so many doors, oh God. You have closed so many doors for me. Lord, and I give you thanks this morning. Lord, I lift up your name. There's power in the name of Jesus. Can you just say Jesus? Yes. Oh, welcome, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Right now, fill my heart, my mind, my soul. Let me walk in obedience to your word. And quit running away in Jesus' name. Say, Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Hug somebody in Jesus' name. If you got kids in children's church, go get them.